Welcome back to the Mining Pod. Anthony Powers joining us once again for our monthly miner roundup. I was just down in Miami speaking with all these miners in person. We had a great time. And shout out to all the mining CEOs, operators, and others who are down there in Miami talking about Bitcoin mining. Great conversations down there. Definitely go check out the recordings. You can probably find them on the Bitcoin magazine website or possibly on their Twitter account, YouTube, etc. Anthony, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, been fine, thanks, Will. Yeah, sounds like success at the weekend. So I managed to watch a few of the shows on YouTube catch up. So yeah, some good, great content.
Yeah, definitely some good conversations down there. We will jump right into it. April was a busy month for Bitcoin mining. Of course, we typically go over what happened the previous month based on the monthly reports a lot of our Bitcoin mining public companies give out. We'll also give some fresher updates based on the information we have now. Of course, some of these miners give out updates immediately, right when the first of the month comes. Some wait a little bit, so the podcast is always delayed until everyone submits their report. For us now, we're a little bit later as well because of the conference last week. That being said, we still have other information we can go through, and there is a lot of trend building within Bitcoin mining, so we'll go through those. Let's start off, though, first talking about some of these mining stocks. See here, if you are listening, we are looking at a Seeking Alpha dashboard we built. Just looking at like most of the public mining companies out there, their tickers in no particular order. I think this one's actually just weighted by their change, the percent change in the last 24 hours. And as you can see, like from day to day, it actually changes quite a bit. And there's not like a lot of sense, I would say, at this point in why a mining stock is going up on a day-to-day change besides maybe a headline. But you can see over a period of time that there is growth and there is some great performance in some of these miners. So let's get into it. Any thoughts on these top miners, Anthony, the percent changes you're looking at, or perhaps like their changes over a 52-week period?
We're still seeing that sort of volatile swings on a daily basis, but generally, if you look over the last few months when we've seen the Bitcoin price do well, I mean, it's moved up 70% from its lows in December. You've seen the mining stocks, pretty much all of them have at least increased by 100% since December. But you're looking at a handful of them, and actually some of those are at the top there. So the likes of Iris Energy, CleanSpark, Riot, Mara, and Bitfarms, these are the ones that have been putting out good updates, getting the hash rate up, and you know, are pretty much strategically set going forward now for the remainder of the year to get their hash rate targets in place in readiness for next year's halving. So we are seeing a sort of like a split between some of the miners and those who managed to get through the bear cycle better than others. You know, where they reduce, you know, the debt, and where they've been able to buy machines at some really, really good prices and get the hash rate up. And we're seeing that come through now. So, you know, April was a good month for a number of miners. I mean, Marathon Digital starting to do what we thought they'd, you know, start doing probably a year ago, actually. But they're starting to build up some really good self-mining hash rate, 14 exahash in April. And it already appears they've energized far more miners in May, because their early signs from their pool are they're going to break easily 1,000 Bitcoin in the month of May. They achieved 705 in April, which was a good month, not an exciting month, but it was a good month. But you know, they'd achieved that nearly same amount halfway through May. So, and some of that's to do with the rewards that miners were receiving. That first sort of first 10 days of May was fantastic for miners. And we should see that in all their updates in May. We should see all the miners probably get close to their highs in terms of mining Bitcoin totals. They should have all made good use of those first 10 days. I spoke to a couple of CEOs and they were sort of like really, really keen to get, you know, as many miners switched on during that period, because, you know, effectively some days they were achieving twice the amount of Bitcoin for mining the same hash rate. So it's come down a little bit now. It's back down to about, you know, 7 Bitcoin per block in terms of the Bitcoin plus the reward, but we were achieving over 11 for some of those days. So really exciting for the miners. That will help, again, give some cash flow going through now, as much needed cash flow to get where they need to do. But yeah, as I say, that looking at the list there, you can see the ones that are, the ones that are starting to move away in terms of size, in terms of market capitalization. And we've seen some of the miners that were probably 18 months, 2 years ago, that we felt there was, some really good press at that part in time. We're not sort of seeing as much of that now. And there's some of them established miners earlier, 2 or 3 years ago, probably not performing as well from a market perspective. It's interesting times. I mean, we've said before that the Bitcoin miners are a play on, a leverage on Bitcoin itself. So when we see the Bitcoin price rise, we do see the miners' volatility even further than Bitcoin. So yeah, it's all fairly positive. We're not seeing any massive dips in Bitcoin prices as people are anticipating. So maybe it is feeling a bottom at the moment.
Yeah, definitely some interesting stuff within the mining stock landscape. The one thing that's interesting to me, I would say, is over the bull run, we do see mining stocks basically yo-yo based on Bitcoin price so much, but during like this intermediary bear period, and I would say we're almost out of like the worst part of the bear. So we're sort of this intermediary period, that the rising bull, as it's often referred to. It's not a bull market yet, but like we're slowly adding capital back into the ecosystem. People are performing well. Bitcoin's at a healthy price. There's some interesting plays with ordinals, that sort of thing. We are seeing some of these updates start to reflect into the stock price and vice versa. So I would say something like a Marathon Digital or an Iris, they seem to be doing on a ticker price because they're doing better on their monthly updates. They're energizing more quickly. And I think people who've been sticking around, paying attention, are starting to allocate their shares that way. Now, I haven't looked at the volume data on that. This is just sort of more of like a trend or a narrative watch, as opposed to like actually looking at the allocations or speaking with investors who are giving capital out. But I do think that there's a nice correlation there where Iris is able to more than increase its hash rate by 100% in a month, and therefore its stock goes up. Marathon, similar, right? So I think there's some play here. And the last thing is the ordinals as well. Ordinals is really changing the game for Bitcoin miners. Typically, fees are 1% to 2% of a Bitcoin block. So it's a reward given to Bitcoin miners. 1% to 2% of that is transaction fees. One Bitcoin in an entire block reward or coin-based reward, that's substantial, and that's much bigger than it has been in the past. And we did have those blocks where it was like 10 Bitcoin, 11 Bitcoin, 12 Bitcoin. That was great. But if we even sustain one Bitcoin transaction fees per block, which contains 6.25 Bitcoin, then we're already at a very healthy level. And I think that will reflect into some of these mining stocks when they're reporting revenues. Let's jump from here and go right into your updates. And for those following along audio, you can read our update later on Mining Memo. Go to the Compass Mining website, go to the article page, and you can see the latest April monthly roundup. We'll also take a look at Anthony's latest article on the mid-tier miners. For mid-tier miners, just a note, it's not a shot at anybody. This is just based on some criteria, and we'll go over that criteria towards the end of the podcast. But we'll first go towards this one update as I share my screen. So we have this update, Bitcoin mining stock roundup, April monthly numbers. And I'll just let you take it away, talking about some of the narratives from this past month.
So in terms of production and the major metric I use is the production by exahash, we saw again that the four normal miners who take up those slots there were at the top end of that. But actually, in terms of production for April, TerraWulf actually, in terms of Bitcoin per exahash, actually pipped Hive blockchain to become the top miner for the month. And I had to do some master workout. They do have an element of self mining, but I'm able to calculate because they articulate what the rewards are for host mining, and so I was able to eliminate the host mining and the hash rate from that. And had it clarified with the company before I put it into my table. So they had a very, very good month in terms of production for the operational hash rate that they had at 2.85. And we know that operational hash rate, even since April, has increased now. They're over 4 exahash now. So Well on target to their 5.5 in the next month or so. So we'll see bigger things from TerraWulf. Hive blockchain, you know, we've talked about Hive, we've talked about Bitfarms, Iris, and CleanSpot. Very, very, you know, solid updates as normal. And, you know, between those four, there's very little to tell. You know, either all four can occupy any of those top four spaces on a month-by-month basis. In terms of largest production, Marathon had the biggest production in terms of Bitcoin, but then they energized, you know, they got 14 exahash energized with a further 3.5 exahash that was waiting to be energized. So actually installed 17.5 waiting, you know, 3.5 of it waiting to be switched on. So, you know, we've seen those numbers coming through in May from their pool, and it looks really, really positive. Riot at 10.5 exahash. We've articulated before they've still got this 1.9 exahash. Their two immersion facilities are still awaiting to be reopened. One's due to be completed, the repairs completed in Q2, and the other facility will be Q3. So they'll effectively have 6 to 9 months of no mining in those facilities, which is obviously will have a big impact on their revenues for 2023. And that gets them to 12.5 once those are open there. And also we've seen the updates about Corsicana, the work that's going on there to get, you know, 400 megawatts of power energized down there. We're waiting on the updates about whether they're going to get, when the miners are going to start being ordered and in place, ready for that energization. But I'm sure that Jason and the team at Riot have got a plan in place because the facility's come on quite well. Iris Energy were able to literally double their monthly daily Bitcoin mined. So they've achieved 5.5 exahash on the 3rd of May. Had a great month in April, and we'll obviously see a really good month in May as well. Obviously benefiting like the miners from the early part of May when the block rewards were significantly higher than normal. CleanSpark, 6.7 exahash, but we know that their deliveries for a further 9 exahash are coming online sort of August, September. So two or three months' time, they'll more than double their current exahash. So they'll be joining the likes of Riot and Mara, buying for the sort of like that top spot. I mean, I've got them as a mid-tier miner, and there was a couple of people said, oh, you know, why have you got CleanSpark as a mid-tier miner? Well, you know, at the time of a Reiner article, their market capitalization was about $330 million, and Mara and Riot were getting close to $2 billion. So there's, you know, forget the hash rate, the market capitalization of these companies is so wide up, you know, in terms of, you know, how the market value. And we've had discussions of does the market know how to value these miners? You know, you look at Iris Energy today, probably have a market cap of about 220, 230 million, and Riot will be close to 2 billion. That's sort of a difference of 8x, and I don't see anywhere near that in the difference in hash rate. So, you know, Iris are operating at literally half of Riot's hash rate at the moment, but they've got a market cap of an eighth of the size. Now, the HODL Riot, they've got, you know, significant amounts of HODL, worth about $340 million at the end of April. That's part of it, but, you know, I don't know how you get to the... I don't know how they make up the rest of the difference. So, again, it's interesting times, you know, on how... You know, the market does value these, and in terms of Bitfarms also achieve 5x a hash, so that, you know, that a lot of these miners, 5x hash seem to be that number to go for, and they've reached it. Hut 8 and Hive, who, you know, 18 months ago were sort of like, you know, leading the way in terms of revenue, in terms of growth, have sort of like, you know, faltered a little bit, but we saw a good update from Hive recently. They look like they're going to you know, purchase more now to get to 6 exahash by the end of the year and start to use their GPUs in the artificial intelligence area where they can maybe get more revenues from that side of things and cloud computing in the way that Hut 8 are starting to deliver on their side. So we're seeing some potential, but we've still got a way to go. Apart from that, I think it was a good month considering difficulty was up. We've seen the difficulty go up again a little bit in May, but I expect most of these mice to be achieving record results end of May.
Yeah, there's a few standouts to me over this last month. One, Marathon, increase in Bitcoin production, mostly on the backs of ordinals, and it pays to have your own mining pool, and they do have their own mining pool, Mara pool. And some other miners do work with other mining pools or have their own, but for the most part, they're using Foundry. And so you're not necessarily going to get like all the transaction fees from a Bitcoin block if you are the one to mine it. In this case, Marathon was able to do that. So they got a lot more extra Bitcoin mined. And if you're using Foundry, I think it is like full pays per share. So you do get the transaction fees because it's going to be divvied up across all the hash rate. Another one that stood out to me was IRS, as you mentioned. Like, they were able to successfully get more than 100% of their hash rate online. That comes after they did default, or they had an SPV default on some Bitcoin ASIC-backed loans. Interesting that occurred, but then they were able to swivel around within a few months and put 5.5 exahash online. Next one for me would be Cypher Mining, which didn't have much hash rate online last year, and we did a great interview with Tyler, the CEO of Cypher Mining. Definitely suggest everyone go watch that. They were quiet in 2022 for a reason. They were getting all their production online, and they came out of this year just gangbusters, and look, they're in the top four now for self-mining in April. So hats off to them. I think the last one is, again, what you just talked about with Hive and Hut 8, mostly figuring up on Hut 8 here. They did not have great production last month, and we talked about it on Mining Pod Weekly Roundup on Saturdays. They've had some issues with a power dispute at one of their locations, and they've also had issue with the power itself at another location. So they did not mine a lot of Bitcoin last month because of these two things. That being said, they have some positive things on the horizon.
I had a chat last week with Sue Ennis, and she, you know, Hut understand that their updates the last sort of 12 to 18 months have not been anywhere near the where the shareholders have expected them to be. But they're extremely positive on the merger with USBTC, hopefully happening, you know, in this next quarter or so. And, you know, they think they've got a really, you know, it's a really good deal for them, opens up a lot more doors for them, and so much more potential once that happens. You know, they have looked at other, over the past year, they've looked at other alternatives, but this one was a really good fit. And, you know, Sue is really, really bullish on this. And you'd expect them to be bullish. You know, they've obviously gone to the market and basically shown everything that's going to happen. But yeah, they needed that growth. They struggled. I mean, you know, we go back 18 months ago and they were supposed to be getting close to 6x hash by the end of 2021, which never happened. And that was delayed till June 22. And then it's just been delayed, and it hasn't really occurred. And they did invest in a lot of money in these GPUs at the sort of, when there was a lot of talk about Ethereum mining, the fork and so that side stopping, because Ethereum mining was very profitable for Hut and Hive whilst they were doing it. But both companies seemed to invest so much money into those GPUs in those last few months. That hindsight now, you could sort of question, you know, the reasons as to why they were doing that, because they were, you know, I've spoken to Hut and they were sort of like saying, yeah, it's going to happen this year. The fork with Ethereum, when you know, we've been here for 2 years, it was going to happen, but they really felt it was going to happen in 2022, but yet they still went out and bought more updated GPU cards. It was quite interesting. So about 18 months ago, I did a poll on Twitter to show who was people's favorite miner, and I had some like 2,000 votes come back to me. And actually, on that list there, It was the Argo blockchain. It was Marathon Digital. It was HUT. It was Hive. Those were the top four. I think Riot was in the six as well. TerraWulf wasn't included in that. I don't think TerraWulf would have actually done any mining that far back. There was a few votes for CleanSpark and a few votes for Iris Energy. But I did one literally 3 weeks ago. And, you know, you can see how the change has now occurred now. And, you know, CleanSpark and Bitfarms and Iris Energy were the top three in terms of, you know, people who follow me on social media, what their views were. And that was done before I even put my comparison article out. So it was a good indication that if people out there are doing their due diligence as well, they'd also seen that there was three miners performing quite well. But when you look at the votes for HUT and for Hive, they were quite low down. I think there was only three votes for each and something like that. It was 3% votes for each, and it was quite small. Considering it was significantly higher 18 months ago. And that sort of just tells you how this landscape can change quite dramatically.
A few thoughts on that, just to riff on it for a second. The thing with Hut 8 and Hive, to me, especially around their GPU farm, they have come and said this in some conversations and publicly in some ways, but the fact that they're spending money on GPUs does sort of tell you their playbook, right? Like, show me where you're putting your money. And I do think that they're starting to lead into like this blended model of both mining Bitcoin and providing GPU services, whether that for rendering or AI, stuff like that. And so that does seem to me to break down a little bit, and they're sort of shuffling out what they're going to invest in. I think both have been decently forward about that, and we'll continue to like show that in the future. I think another thing that we got to talk about coming out of this, though, is the market caps and the ability to garner capital. CleanSpark is one that I think of. I've done a lot of dilution recently to fund their growth, but they've also done so in a way that has added exahash very quickly, right? So you could make an argument that it was a responsible way of using the cap table. You might not like it, but you may like it next bull run. And I think it kind of brings into the conversation some of these legacy miners, or some of these, maybe not even legacy miners, but some of these miners who were in the same exahash breakdown, chose one model, maybe diversifying revenue like Hut 8 and Hive, or maybe putting the money all into a Texas mine like Argo. And some focus on other services. I say like CleanSpark really focused in on like waiting, timing purchases, and then double down on and dilute their cap table to get there. And I think they're trying to get into that Riot marathon status in terms of hash rate online and market cap. And I think it's working. So I think the capital playbook is the thing to look at here and be like, who is really savvy with their finances and who took like a long-term look at how mining stocks work and how investors look at mining stocks and have been successful. I was saying that Hive and Hut 8 won't be successful. I think they continue to be successful, but they definitely have a different playbook than say your CleanSparks or Iris Energies right now.
With Hive, what you have to realize is what they do on us, what now appears to be a small scale of the miners, they do really well. So they do perform every month with what machines they have. They are producing one of the best margins of all the miners, and their operating costs are probably the lowest of all the miners, you know, so they're not rewarding themselves like some of the miners you've already mentioned that, you know, are getting hash rates up. Those miners are rewarding their, you know, their people extremely well, you know, and my metrics on looking when I did the comparison article highlighted, you know, the G&A costs and the stock compensation costs by company, and it was quite evident, you know, who's potentially rewarded themselves. Now, stock compensation rewards are generally given on performance, achievement bonuses, on how the company performs, but it depends on what parameters you set those. You know, if you set targets that are going to be achieved, then those bonuses will be rewarded. You know, someone like, I think Iris came out with a, you know, that some of their bonuses are only paid if the share price hits, you know, $300+. And whereas at the moment, it's sort of like just hovering around the $4, maybe not so much of that stock compensation is going to be issued. But, you know, other miners, I've already wrote about before, where they've issued stock compensation If they achieve, say, 10 exahash or 15 exahash by a certain period of time, and if they don't achieve that, they get a percentage on what they do achieve. So they still get, you know, it's quite a good deal. It's not like an all or nothing. It's like if you get 15, you get 100%. If you get 12, you might get 8% of the bonus. So, you know, and you talked about dilution. One thing that the likes of Mara, Riot, and CleanSpark have been very good at is they've utilized their at-the-market offerings. And we don't know how many shares they're selling until the quarterly reports come out. So when CleanSpark released their quarterly report, you know, a few weeks ago, it was evident that they'd sold, you know, 41 million shares between December the 31st and the current date of that report. So, you know, that and Riot and Mara for the you know, over the last sort of 15 months, they diluted their companies. I think Riot diluted, you know, it was significant amounts. I think one was 60%, one was 40%. So, you know, when miners are saying we're managing every month, we're not selling Bitcoin and we're doing well, it's like that. They are selling shares for cash to make sure that they're covering their costs as well as their capital costs. So we've seen miners in the past where they've gone to the market with a dilution and saying, you know, we're going to dilute, you know, $30 million of shares, and the market automatically drops, you know, their price drops and takes into account that dilution. Well, it's not happening as much with the ATMs. I haven't seen CleanSpark's share price deviate at all from the news when they reported that they diluted 41 million shares. So their market cap now, where it was 330 million before the report came out, it's now, you know, close to 500 million their market cap. So it takes into account all those shares sold at the current share price. So they've been very fortunate the way they've chosen. And it's all about, you know, you want to make sure you're realizing the best amounts of money you can get for the share price. So they've probably been drip selling shares on a daily basis, you know, to sell 41 million over the space of like just over 4 months. That's a lot of shares per day. And they needed to sell shares because they've already told us how much it's going to cost to install, to purchase those miners. I mean, 145 million of miners. Well, by selling 41 million shares, you're nearly there for that. So I don't know how many more shares they've got to sell to achieve those payments ready for August and September when the final payments are due for those miners, as it's been scheduled in the 8K. But yeah, it's interesting times. I mean, we've said many times now that the debt size is going to be a problem for miners. So it's, you know, it's going to be dilution. It's going to be sell Bitcoin. It's really the two leaves they've got available. Some of the mining stocks are, you know, I mean, look at the Bitfarms share price is just over $1 a share. They, you know, and so diluting $1 a share, you're diluting a significant proportion of the share, of the actual market cap to get some real you know, capital to grow. So, you know, that's the challenge.
Yeah, no, I think you bring up some great points there. It's almost like there's this gap we're seeing where you have to be willing to use the capital markets in order to get to that 10 exahash plus grouping, or to get that huge market cap. And all the other miners have chosen other pathways, either debt or slow growth and efficiencies, and they're probably going to stick around that 5 exahash mark. And when the bull market comes, they'll certainly be rewarded, I think, for that efficiency. And the efficiency does reward itself. You're able to stay afloat and be comfortable, but you probably won't get as big as some of these other companies. So yeah, we can leave that one there. Let's go to your next article, which definitely turned some heads on Twitter. It was a great piece of writing. Check it out again on our website, compassmining.io. Go to the articles tab and you can see it. This is ranking mid-tier Bitcoin miners by the number. So some of these numbers are identical to the ones that we've seen in the monthly reporting or in the past monthly reporting. Some is from the quarterly reporting. Anthony, before we dive into the article, tell me a little bit about the criteria that you use to come up with this, just so we're crystal clear in that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd already done a sort of comparison article between Mara and Riot a couple of months ago. So it was now, because their market capitalizations, as we've already alluded to in this discussion, you know, you're looking at 1.5 to 2 billion for both of those companies at the moment. And then you've got a group of you know, six or seven miners who all got a market cap in excess of about $200 million and a hash rate, operating hash rate of over 3x a hash. And so I used that as a criteria to do those. And so there was seven miners fulfilled that criteria. And then basically, you know, I wanted to try and look at as many different metrics. So looking at the liquidity, the profitability, looking at debt, looking at their operation costs, looking at the asset costs, looking at the performance, looking at the stock performance. And, you know, rather than just using one metric to say this is rank number one, and when I do the monthly reports, I look at utilization, I look at production. And actually just two metrics. It's not enough to say, you know, if Hive and Bitfarms are everyone's finishing first and second, you know, it you need more metrics to sort of like get a real understanding. Are they consistently doing well in every metric? And this was a good, you know, put a lot of work into the article to deliver these metrics. Which is an indication of where, you know, at a given point in time. Now, bear in mind, all the data I used, or the majority of data I used, was up until the end of December 22, because a lot of the miners hadn't released their data. And as I was finishing the article, every day there was like another quarterly coming out for the first quarter. But I'd set in stone my, you know, the methodology I was going to use. And I know that a couple of those miners won't put their next quarter out until maybe September, because for them, it will be the end of year quarter. So miners don't always follow calendar year. Some miners are actually operating, say, from April to April. April to March. So the January to March is their final year. And you don't tend to put your final year out literally just after the quarter's finished. You have to get them audited, and they're called final accounts. So if we use Hive blockchain as an example, Hive will release their final accounts in probably August, September, and they'll release their first quarter probably at the same time, because they'll be ready to release at the same time, but they can't release their finals until they've been audited. So I used, to make sure they're using a fair comparison, I used everything up to the 31st of December 22, apart from things like hash rate, where we know the hash rate is the hash rate at the moment. Anything that's been disclosed that I can use for all miners, I was able to do that. So for an April update, I could use their current hash rate. If they turn around and said, our strategic hash rate for the end of 2023 is this amount, I'm able to use that as well. So that was also applied a metric there. So it was a case of going through each of the metrics and then using a weighted score. So what things did I think were really important when you're looking at sort of like, you know, 10 different metrics, you know, you might apply a little bit more weight to say the margin. So, you know, your cost is really important for a miner. You want to make sure you've got your cost controlled. So you could argue cost control is more important than say share price growth or exahash growth, because it's, you know, your ability to pay your bills. So the things like, you know, the liquidity, the operational costs, they had higher weighting than some of the others. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, any number of analysts could have used different data or used data and do it a different way. But, you know, this was all for entertainment purposes, just to show a perspective for people out there who are interested in mining stocks, that, you know, there's a bit of due diligence done. And I always say to people, you know, go out there and, you know, if you like what you see in my content, go and delve yourselves. All the reports are there to look at. You know, nothing's hidden with these miners. You can find everything out from them. They have to disclose it. I could sort of work my way around the various tools now to get that data quite quickly. But when you look at, you know, these reporting, that, you know, some of the reports are 200 pages long, and you have to go and find the data in those 200 pages. So it's, you know, it's not like a two or three page update that you see at the end of the month. You have to go and find it. And if you're prepared to read them, you do get a really good indication about the company. It does actually put a real lot of detail in there for you to go through.
Yeah, so we go through a few things here. Balance sheet strength, liquidity.
Yeah, I mean, balance sheet strength, we've said, is so important for miners. We saw this in 2022, you know. We saw Core Scientific go into Chapter 11. Argo Blockchain were literally on the cliff going into Chapter 11 before they got an 11th hour waiver from Galaxy Digital buying the Helios site and giving them effectively a 12-month runway to try and manage 2023 in terms of being able to meet their costs for the next 12 months. So the strength of the balance sheet is a really important position there. And we've always seen the likes of Hut 8 have maintained strong balance sheet position. We talked about, you know, 6 months ago, we could have put Iris Energy in the same bracket as Core Scientific and Argo Blockchain. They were in a similar position where they owed a lot of money and didn't have the cash to necessarily meet all their debt requirements. And so, you know, fortunately for them, the SPVs gave them an avenue where they could actually hand back the miners, which had reduced so much in value that it made no sense to keep the assets and pay the debt. You know, the assets were worth about $65 million. The debt was worth over $100 million. Effectively, they were able to wipe $40 million of debt off their balance sheet by handing the assets back, and that's what they did. And the main company had no recourse to any of the issues. And what they did then with the cash that they had available and the advance deposits that they paid with Bitmain for future growth, they were able to turn those into buying effectively new machines to replace the ones they'd handed back. And, you know, we're looking at a miner that had less than 2 exahash in December, who's operating at 5.5 now, with literally zero debt. I think it's like 1.4 million of debt on the balance sheet as at the end of 2022. And the CEO, Dan Roberts, has come out on a number of presentations and reiterated that position there, you know, the zero debt position. So they've got themselves into it. You know, they've gone through a challenging period and they've come out the other side, and they'll be probably better for that going forward. Bitfarms, we can see the total debt there of 21 million. Let me tell you that, you know, 12 months ago, that was close to 160 million of debt. And they've done probably an amazing turnaround. And that's helped them get into a far more healthy position now. They've managed to get over 5 exahash. They're looking to grow at least to 6. I think they're even putting out more updates to say that's going to grow higher than 6 as well. So they're in a position where they can probably to grow hash rate while prices are at the moment. Yeah. So the balance sheet was one area. I looked at I think one of the next tables was the margin table. If you look at one standout miner, Cipher Mining, a gross margin of 75%. Now, bear in mind, they didn't mine a great deal of self-mining in the last quarter of 2022. It was literally about 180 coins, I think it was, in total. So we haven't got a lot of data on that, and I made sure that comment was put into the thing there. But I've looked at their quarter one update, which isn't included in this, and they're at a very good margin there as well. So they've obviously got a really good energy deal, as have TerraWulf as well. So TerraWulf they're quite happy to articulate what they're paying in electricity costs on each of their monthly updates. And at the April update, they're paying a blended cost of 3 cents a kilowatt hour. And if you compare that to, say, Marathon Digital, they're paying, I think, 6.5 to 7.5 cents a kilowatt hour. So they're paying, you know, 40% of Marathon. Now, Marathon's figure does include the hosting fee, but, you know, when you're using millions of kilowatt hours, whoever's got the greatest, you know, the best price for energy could end up being the winner in this game, because, you know, it's you know, we're only talking about, so TerraWulf, I think TerraWulf in April was spending $7,500 per Bitcoin mined in energy costs. And Iris Energy, who also have a good margin, was spending over 12 on energy costs. So, you know, people say that's like 4,000 to 5,000 per coin. And if you're mining, say, 300 coins, that's a $1 million of extra cost that you're saving from TerraWulf's perspective. And Iris have got a good margin as well on theirs. I mean, if you look at the margin there, they're achieving 46%. So this is, bear in mind, this was the last quarter of 2022. So I'll need to go back through and have a, we won't see Iris Energy's update for another 3 months. They only do Iris Energy and Argo, because they're not US list US companies, they can follow the procedure of their own companies, of their own countries. So Argo's UK listed stock, and they can get away with just doing a half yearly and a yearly update. And Iris Energy is the same as Australian company, only has to produce half yearly and full. So we don't get to see quarterlies from them. So when the next quarterly comes out, probably again right about September, we'll see what their 6 month position is. But they do put the electricity price in all their updates, so it shouldn't come as any shock when it comes through. But the rest of them, apart from, you know, Cypher and Iris, were all sort of like around the sort of 25% to 30% margins. Which, bear in mind, the price of Bitcoin that last quarter was really low, so Bitcoin dropped to like 15,000 in December, and so some of these companies were still able to make a margin up at that price. Hut 8 is 30% there. With Hut 8, you've got the issue, probably the machines that they're using are probably getting older machines now compared to their peers, and also the fact that they haven't got the electricity prices that some of these others are paying as well. So Hut's margins, not just for that quarter, but for the previous quite a few quarters, were quite low in comparison to the peers. But with this merger, you know, they've probably got they'll probably get more opportunity with the sites in the US to get that price down and to, you know, that I know they're doing other things in Canada as well, looking at markets up there to see if they can improve that price up there. But they'll have the US markets when they join US BTC.
One thing to jump in there really quick is, again, the direct cash cost per Bitcoin is interesting, and you can break it down a few different ways. You can think of it from an energy perspective and think about like what Cypher Mining is probably getting. I forget what Tyler told us on the podcast, but if memory serves me, it's some wind and then I think some natural gas. Again, for correction, feel free to check out that podcast. It's a great conversation. Some of the other ones I remember off the top of my head, however, is like Bitfarms has a lot of hydro, both in Quebec and other parts of Canada and then down in Paraguay. The last one I wanted to bring up, and I'm now blanking on looking at it, oh, Terra Wolf, you brought up nuclear, right? And I believe they also use hydro. Looking at that, it's cool to see down like the breakdown costs and sort of model out what's a cheaper model for mining Bitcoin based on the energy source. And of course, these things fluctuate. So for Argo blockchain, we saw in 2022, they were basically natural gas. And they purchased this nice new fancy facility. And they got it online right when natural gas spiked. And so that put them in a bad spot. So these ones look a little bit more solid and stable. They have a lot of renewable. The other interesting thing here is to look at the direct cash cost for Bitcoin and look at historic norms for where Bitcoin is drawing down per cycle and then where it's expected to go for the next cycle. We typically see like an 80% drawdown in Bitcoin price. And this last cycle, we went down from about $69,000 to around $15,000 per coin at the bottom of the cycle. And so for the two miners that would hurt from this page right here, of course, there's more we're not talking about, that'd be Hive and Hut 8. Hut 8 with about a $16,000 cost and Hive with about a $14,500 cost to mine a coin. The rest of them would probably be okay. Maybe Terra Wolf would be in there as well, I should say, too. That likely won't happen again unless we see some really bad issues in the economy. But it's just notable to point out, if we do see a drawdown in Bitcoin price, you need to look at that cash cost and be below it so you can continue to fund your operations.
I think I agree definitely regards Hut 8. They need to look at how they can reduce their costs. And it might mean that, you know, they're going to have to look at maybe swapping some of their mining machines over. I think they've got an older amount of assets compared to their peers at the moment. I didn't see any massive purchases in recent times. You know, you look at some other miners, it's like we're getting, effectively, sometimes we're getting monthly updates on the new miners coming through. But we haven't had any real big updates from Hut for a while about what's coming in. So some of their machines now will be starting to, you know, maybe not perform as well as the newer machines. And that might have an impact on their cost as well. This is the G&A and the stock compensation we were talking about before. So if we look at G&A, you know, Hive blockchain, 10% of revenues is what they're spending on G&A. Now G&A is predominantly your payroll costs, It's also things like professional fees, could be some legal fees. And these are all sort of like those cash costs. Stock compensation isn't a cash cost. It is effectively diluting the shares of the company. So, you know, when we look at Cipher Mining, now I wouldn't look too much at the percentages because, like we've already alluded to, that Cipher Mining only achieved about $3 million in mining revenue for the whole of 2022. And you compare that to, say, Bitfarms, who achieved 142 million, you know, the percentage, what they've spent on, you know, what they've aligned to stock-based compensation, but it's still a high amount of stock compensation. For 41 million, you know, was a good percentage of the market capitalization. Same with CleanSpark as well, 37 million of stock compensation in 2022. That it seems like, you know, some of these companies are rewarding their senior management quite handsomely. And if CleanSpark is about, you know, getting to 15, 16, we already know they're probably going to achieve that. So, you know, that looks like it will be provided then. And what happens in 2023? So we know that the first quarter results are coming out, and I've had a quick look at some of these. Again, for the quarter, you know, 5 and 6 million stock compensation for some of these companies in the first quarter. So you could probably say some of them will be achieving over 20 million of stock compensation in 2023. On top of where they're paying themselves quite good salaries. I think there was a YouTube video came out from Sebastian yesterday about CEO salaries. I had a quick look at that, and so he's gone through and pulled together all the CEOs from each of the mining companies and looked in through their filings, and the senior management of companies, they have to actually put their salaries and compensation in their updates. They can't hide them, so they're there for the public to see. So he's put that together there. So that's probably maybe worth having a look at for people who are interested in that. And then at the bottom there, we've got the ATM share offerings. So as I say, some of these companies have got big ATM share offerings, but we know that the likes of CleanSpark want to get to, you know, 16x hash by the end of the year. And that's going to cost them money, not just in miners. They spent 145 million on miners, but they're also going to have to pay for infrastructure and building the additional power to support those miners. So that share offering is going to be, majority of that's going to be used up to get to that point. But all the miners seem to have a significant amount of ability to go to the market and raise more capital. TerraWulf has said they're not going to raise capital by dilution, but I don't know how else they're going to get. They don't have any hodl, and they've got 125 million debt on the balance sheet. So if they were to try and increase their size from 5.5, which is their aim at the moment, then they're going to have to use some of that share offering in place there to sell shares to raise that capital. But all the miners are, I think 2023 is again going to be like the year of dilution again for these miners to grow.
Definitely, and perhaps unfortunate here as a shareholder, but perhaps it allows these companies to grow even faster. Let's go to the last chart and then close things up for the day. The share price growth, you can see it here. Nice little look into the different mining companies that are growing right now. Cipher Mining, of course, not the new kid on the block. Like they launched in 2021 and were part of a Bitfury group, but they have become more public recently and just hash rate going along quickly, as we mentioned. And then Iris Energy as well, sort of flipping the narrative on everyone so quickly. We're seeing some rewards there. But year to date, these miners are all up over 100%. Quite a turnaround.
Yeah, So I, you know, we've talked about Iris, you know, going from, you know, close to, you know, maybe going into chapter 11 to actually coming out the other side and you know, having zero debt and 5.5 exahash on operational mining. Increase of 213%, you know, as I said earlier, that gets into a market cap of about 230 million. You know, they've got of those miners listed there, they've got the lowest market cap by a considerable amount. So if you compare, say, Wulf to Iris, Wulf have got a lower hash rate with 125 million in debt on the balance sheet, but they've got a market cap of 50% higher than Iris Energy. So, the markets, I don't know how they're doing this, but I don't really think they've got a full understanding.
Yeah, I mean, there is something about mining stocks being very similar to tokens on the Ethereum network, where there's not always a good fundamental understanding of things, since it is a derivative of Bitcoin in a sense. Okay, let's go to the rankings for this piece. And a great part about this was that we were able to come up with some rankings based on like the different metrics, and we didn't go through them all over the last few minutes. We went through some of the more important ones. Tell me about the rankings and how you came to this conclusion. Again, this is not financial advice. This is more for like content purposes, but it is like a healthy understanding of what the market looks like for these mid-tier miners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I looked at a number, like I said, number of metrics there, and tried to get, you know, one or two metrics, but for each of the areas. So from liquidity, you know, current ratio on the Bitcoin HODL was two good metrics to use. Margin, obviously, for profitability, you know, debt to equity ratio, solvency, and just, you know, went through like that there. But the weighting was quite important, and I applied a higher weighting to profitability and solvency than I did to anything else. And the reason I did that is because, you know, we saw in 2022 the difficulty miners had in maintaining the solvency and producing profits when the Bitcoin price drops. So I gave an extra, you know, 5% weighting to that, and then for some of the like the hash rate growth, I applied a 5% weighting and stock performance a 5% weighting, which I felt was, you know, it's important, but maybe not as important as profitability and liquidity. I rated those higher. Now, you know, people can disagree, that's fine. Just say just for entertainment purposes. But you apply the same method to each of the miners, and you can see quite clearly that the one standout miner, Iris, just seems to be fairly good in every metric. It does come out strongest in debt to equity, and that's because it's got rid of all its debt, so it's got zero debt. So for that metric, you know, at the moment, it is the top miner, and we'll probably, when we get their next quarterly update, or sorry, the half year, we'll see that showing that in that position there. And they also scored high when you look at the actual value of the company and how much hash rate they've got for actual value. So you divide the hash rate into actual value to give you a basically a sort of like a cost per exahash, and they were the cheapest considerably in that sort of metric there. So when we looked at giving them all a score for each one, and bear in mind it was out of 100 the total score. So if you scored 100, you got maximum in every metric. Iris Energy came top, and it came top quite significantly. I mean, it was, you know, 76% out of 100 is a good score. And when you look at, you know, interesting enough, Bitfarms and CleanSpark came in joint second. And I think if you go to like four or five decimal places, I think Bitfarms may have picked CleanSpark. But I put them both as second because, to be honest with you, there's nothing to separate them. And when you go to two decimal places and they're still the same amount, I give them both the ranking of two. Followed by Hut 8. Now, Hut 8, we've highlighted their production issues, but the strength that Hut 8 have got is they've got a fantastic HODL. They've got great balance sheet strength. So they, you know, if you were saying of these miners here, if the Bitcoin price, say, dropped considerably from where we are now, who's still going to make it? You know, Hut 8 have probably got enough runway to make it longer than most of the miners in that list. They've been quite cautious. They've not gone out and built massive sites and purchased loads and loads of miners. They've done things in a more gradual way. So they've added some other businesses. They've added the computing, high-level computing service that they've got there, or high-performance computing, sorry, and that brings them in, you know, about, you know, 20% of their revenues. So that they've got some, you know, some good revenues coming in from non-Bitcoin mining, which is helpful in the time when Bitcoin price drops. So they scored really well on the first few metrics, but then when it gets down to mine performance. And when it gets down to stock performance, because mine performance and stock performance probably is a bit of a correlation there, and then hash rate growth, they're not scoring as well as those. Hive, again, I think in a very similar position to Hut 8, quite strong on the balance sheet and the ratios, but their growth has sort of not been as high as some of the others. So, but if you look at, take away Iris Energy, you've got sort of five miners that are very, very close, and slight changes in any of those metrics could have changed that, the running order. I think you'd have to change it considerably for Terrawolf and Irish Energy to finish anywhere other than first and seventh. Terrawolf, they've become really, really popular as a miner. They've got a lot of, there's a lot on social media, there's a lot of interest in Terrawolf. I've seen that. You know, I only have one concern. It's just the debt, mate. The $125 million of debt that needs to be paid. And I know their finance director is doing everything in 2023 to get a significant chunk of that paid back, so that puts them in a good position coming up to the halving. You know, he's very, very well thought of in the industry. He's got a great resume as a finance director. So, you know, they've got the right person in the job there to do that. So if they can get, you know, the hash rates growing now, get the Bitcoin production and be able to get that debt reduced, I can see good things for those. But there was no way with their balance sheet at the moment that they could really compete with the other miners. Most of the miners didn't have really that much of these, didn't have that much debt. If Argo Blockchain was on this group, I think Argo probably would have been in a sort of position to Terrawolf. But as I say, it's a snapshot in time. You know, we could look at this in 3 months' time and we might see a different ranking of there. I mean, you know, CleanSpark really probably with their runway over the next 6 months growing their hash rates where it's going to be, and the fact they've got, you know, tapped into good energy sources at good prices, they could really challenge the Mara riots coming up to the end of this year. But as I say, it was just something I did rather than just doing sort of like the mining performance by exahash utilization, looking at a lot more metrics together, looking at equitable value rather than market cap, because equitable value takes into consideration the debt on the balance sheet, also takes into consideration the cash. And so it's a better metric to use in terms of valuations when you're comparing like companies. Equitable value is probably the best metric to use for that.
Gotcha. Yeah, definitely the debt we've seen in the past has been a hamstring for some miners, or some are able to get past it, some are not. So it's definitely something to watch on the Terrawolf front, but there are sort of newer miner in terms of people paying attention to them and seem to be having some astronomical growth in terms of hash rate coming online. So it's definitely something to watch. Anthony, thank you so much for putting this power ranking together. Again, you can find it on his Twitter account or go to the Compass Mining website and you can find it. Definitely give it a read. It's well thought out, over 2,000 words speaking about like the different ways to value these mid-tier miners, again, just for content purposes. But from us at the Mining Pod, thank you for watching and thank you for joining us today, Anthony.
Thanks, Will. Thanks very much.